also working with Kamau Medical Center closely. We had a good meeting with the board and the CEO the other day, trying to get the billing and a lot of the financials in order, trying to create more stability, continuity of care with doctors, all those sorts of things. I felt the meeting went well. I think Kamau is making progress. You know, we'll continue to work with them on that. It's still got a long ways to go, but, you know, we do work with our boards and committees. We've also been working with tribal police and Kamau on mental health support. So we've had a number of emergency calls where the county MIST team just isn't available, you know, to get over the hill. And so we're trying to get more of our own doctors. I think we have at least one tribal officer now who can designate someone as 5150, a danger to themselves and others. If you don't have that, you can't address people that are in crisis. And so I'm hoping that CEO Zumalt can touch on that today during his presentation, trying to get resources working together to help people that are in mental health crisis, because not only are they a danger to themselves, but sometimes they really strike fear in their own family members, in their own homes. And
Sherry Carpenter.
I believe there is an interim basis, yeah, but they are advertising for a new CMO, is that correct? Okay. So yeah, but there is turnover. That's part of our problem, is too much turnover at the medical center. Making changes at for-profit enterprises as well. Again, I mentioned the accounting. One area where we really fall short is the marketing. We don't get out there and promote our activities. Unfortunately, I have to report that in the last 30 days, three tribal managers had to be let go. And that's not an easy thing to do. We try to always work with these managers ahead of time and give them options to improve. But if we're not seeing the improvement, we do have to make tough decisions. And so right now we're advertising for a new Lucky Bear Casino manager, a new food distribution manager, a new elder services manager, and we're hoping to have a new roads director soon. I feel like Merwin has filled in admirably as interim, but we should have a permanent placement there soon. But we do try to hold our managers accountable and work with them to make changes for improvement. And if the improvement's not happening, we have to make those tough decisions. Unfortunately, I can foresee that there could be more coming, but that's just the nature of the beast here is tribal leadership. You know, you have to make those tough decisions and you may lose friends, but, you know, we're trying. Holding managers meetings. We do hold managers meetings to bring all the managers together, get them to work together, because we always hear for years, right? All of our departments work in silos. That means they have their own separate units here, there, and everywhere, and they're not coming together for more strength in the tribe, because a lot of the issues that we see, whether that be a housing issue or healthcare, it can't be just one department. So if housing is going to put up a house, you know, they got to have PUDs support. They got to have HOOPA development fund support if it's a home loan. Or another good example of that is the mental health crisis. So we see tribal police working with Kamau to address mental health issues. So we do try to get our departments to work together. I think it's been going well. I think that it's getting better. We still have a ways to go, but we want our tribal departments working together. Grant funding is another, you know, it's an ongoing effort. We've always, you know, benefited from grants at times. It's been a controversial issue because we know that it creates an indirect problem where, you know, sometimes it's more expensive to administer a grant than it is, you know, that outweighs the benefits of that grant. So every grant that is being applied for is approved by the tribal fiscal department and the council to make sure that we're not overburdening ourselves with these indirect costs. So we do continue to monitor grant opportunities. We're actively applying for grants. We get good news sometimes on these grants, you know, good programs that come in. I know Kenny Norton in his latest report, Land, they're going to be doing some more cleanups for grants that they got to clean up the community. So I do appreciate the hard work that goes into these grants. Our grant management folks, it's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of financial work to just to report on these grants and manage those. So we do kind of depend on grants. Hopefully one day we won't need them. We can generate our own revenues, but we're just not there yet. So in closing, I guess, you know, the point I'm trying to make, and again, we deal with fire reimbursements, all those kinds of things. We ask OTA to create a probate ordinance. Danny Jordan had provided a lot of good documents on that. We're hoping to get a formal document because probate continues to be an issue. Lots of balance for this tribal council. We're going to keep trying, and hopefully we'll have more results as time goes forward. And appreciate all your participation in the tribal government. So thank you all. All right, next item on the agenda is possible constitutional amendments. So one of the ones we talked about was enrollment, right? And maybe some changes to the blood quantum, those sorts of things. Another one that I really like to see that, you know, may or may not be supported is the sovereign immunity of individual council members. So if there is a violation of the Indian Civil Rights Act, whereas, you know, you have a council who tries to take away someone's freedom of speech or right to peaceably assemble, all those rights, due process, all those rights that are supposed to be guaranteed for individual Indians as per the Indian Civil Rights Act of 1975, you know, there should be some liability for that, in my opinion. You know, if somebody wants to be a tyrant while they're on the council and take away your individual rights, they should be able to be, you know, sued, personally held liable. As it stands today, you know, tribal councils in some places can do almost anything they want behind the shield of sovereign immunity. And so this would be something that would protect tribal members' rights. That's one thing I would like to see. I believe there were some other constitutional amendments that other folks had in mind. Ryan, did you have one? Okay. Okay. So other constitutional amendments. Again, that's the blood quantum would be one issue. Are there any other thoughts that you guys want, anybody, council members or tribal members wanted to share as far as changes that you'd like to see to the Constitution? I know another aspect that was asked for was maybe some type of vision statement of who we see ourselves as or who we want to be going forward. That could be another area, but mainly those two, the enrollment issue and the Indian Civil Rights Act. Go ahead, Danny.
Danny Jordan. First of all, thank you for not approving a marijuana plan on Thursday night. Some of us have submitted dozens of pages of comments on it that had just not been considered. So let's have that meeting. Let's have a working meeting. Let's put the real issues on the table, everyone's issues. This is not just about a small group of people. This is about the membership and about the Hoopa Reservation. So thank you for that. Regarding referendums, you do have constitutional amendments that I submitted dealing with a deficit and dealing with economic development. It is, Joe, thank you for and also I should thank Kamau. I'm kind of appreciative and disappointed by their report that, one, thank you for doing the report, doing the analysis of HUPA Health. Their analysis says that, with the disappointing part, that HUPA's life expectancy is going down. We need to look at that. And I think my personal opinion is, I agree with you, Joe, poverty has got to be stopped in HUPA. It cannot be the future agenda. That's what that referendum language that I gave to the council a couple weeks ago is about. We need to look at how to deal with a deficit, because the deficit itself is just chewing the tribe up internally. Unless we know what is causing that deficit, and we, when we put those checks and balances on spending, we're not going to be able to deal with the future deficit. During our council, we left a 26-point proposal on a table because we said we'd got to stop kicking this can down the road on a deficit. Let's deal with the issues. When you look at that 26-point proposal, it's not just overspending, but what causes overspending is the lack of performance and accountability. Those all have to be dealt with. That was what was in that proposal that I submitted a couple weeks ago on the referendum. So that's one referendum issue we ought to deal with, is accountability and economic development. Another is, Jordan came back from a fentanyl conference in Tulalip, and he says, we can tear these fentanyl buildings down. We put a language together. Augie, thank you for asking for that. And you got that. The council got the probable cause ordinance language on drug houses, when we can go in and just do raids under tribal law. And also the referendum on fentanyl is, if anybody is caught, is convicted of selling fentanyl, the membership would say, Joe, I agree with you. This is just not a council issue. This is a membership issue. This is our life. The fentanyl referendum would be, first conviction, lose your rights for 10 years. Second conviction, you lose your rights forever. The membership just simply take their rights away. We also included some language in there that would assess a law enforcement lien on a raid. And thank you for agreeing to tear a building down, but you create some kind of vulnerability as well doing that, because you're talking about people's rights. The membership needs to say, tear those buildings down. What the language would do, it would put a $10,000 lien, law enforcement lien, on the first conviction. And the second conviction would be a $50,000, all payable within 30 days. And if that those individuals don't pay, the tribe has a property right in that fentanyl, not just the fentanyl building, but the land itself. The tribe can then go in and take possession of that property and decide what you want to do with the home. It's tribal property at that point. We also provided for protections against for example, a grandmother who's grandchild is selling fentanyl. We provided protections to make sure that we're not unfairly treating elders improperly when somebody in the family sells fentanyl out of their home. Those things ought to be considered for the referendum as well. I do think the tribal police, I really appreciate James McCovey's position that we need to expand the tribal police authority. We need a HUPA jail, because we can't just wait for the county to get around to doing something. We need to be able to hold them under tribal property. When we were working on this before, even the Kamau medical professionals said we need a safe place for people to be held in the event that there's a problem within a home. We could do that with a HUPA jail. We actually have the property cleared over behind the tribal police for a 12-cell jail. If we did that, HUPA would become comparable to the county. We would not have to ask the county and the DA to enforce the laws here. We would do it ourselves. So, Those are things I think we need to be dealing with. That I agree with what Lois's comment. Hoopa is an amazing tribe. The core of Hoopa is about the membership and about the power that we actually have under the tribal constitution. It has to be done right, for sure, but we have the ability to do that. And Hoopa has, you know, it amazes me that back in 1988, we passed the Settlement Act, right? We took our own land back from being potentially taken by someone else and the United States. We went to Congress and said, enough is enough. This is Hoopa land. It will always be Hoopa land. And we passed the Settlement Act. The only way that happened was when the membership and the tribal council worked together and had those plans and had those priorities and said, our interest is protecting who we are. That's the same standard that should be applied to deficits. Same standard should be applied. I'm really disappointed that between 2021 and 2025, $30 million was paid to outside companies. Not $1 was left for a tribal member, for tribal member businesses. I asked the tribal member businesses, why aren't you bidding on rodeo ground fence? And they said, the way that the tribe is designing it, it's too big. We can't afford to do what Danco and Pacific Builders and Humboldt Fence Company can do because they are not us. They're out there selling themselves on the open market. So give tribal members a chance. But tribal members told me that when the tribe doesn't talk to them about these contracts, they just float a contract out there and it's designed that it's so big. The tribal members are scrambling to try to figure out how do we put ourselves into a position of being competitive with Danco, with Pacific Builders, with Humboldt Fence Company. We can, and thank you for the meeting. You're going to have a meeting on March the 18th to bring our tribal member businesses in to say, what are we doing that could be done better to invite them in? If we can get the money in Hoopa being invested in Hoopa, into tribal member businesses, we then have the framework for dealing with the education system, with the health system, with school, with drug issues, with poverty. But we can't do it without pulling these things together. So, there's a number of referendums that should be on the ballot. We propose some language for doing that. We'd like to have a discussion about that.
Thank you, Danny. You're always, you know, Danny always has things that can help strengthen tribal sovereignty, so we got to pay attention. Another one that did come up I forgot to mention is Councilman Kane here has a proposal on the agenda that will be voted on by the council at the next council meeting. I think that's March 5th. And that is a referendum amendment to the Constitution that would go on to the ballot in June to extend the council terms. So the option would be no change, the term stay 2 years, or the term stay move to either 3 or 4 years. Now, some of us, a lot of us on the council are in preference for a 3 year instead of a 4 year. Some people think it needs to be 4 years. But in any case, would like to hear from the membership their thoughts on that. Right now, the way it would be set up is that it wouldn't go into effect until, I believe, 2028. So each council member here would have to win at least one more election in order to run for a 3 or 4 year term. So it's not a direct benefit to all the council members here. They would still have to win the next election to get a 2 year term, and then they would have to run again to get a 3 or 4 year term. And I think that, you know, this was talked about during the SEDS, the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy that the tribe approved back in 2016. And a lot of tribes have looked at this as a way to promote stability. So instead of having an election every single year, when things do change, either they slow down or you see actions taken that are more political than, anything else. But also it prevents that constant turnover. And so, I personally would like to see a 3-year term. I think 4 would be too long. But everybody feels differently about it. And even if the council gets 6 of 7 votes at the next meeting to put it on the ballot, it's still going to be up to the membership. But it would be nice to hear what people's thoughts are on that topic here today, if anybody would like to share. Go ahead, Lois.
Lois Risling, I have opinions, so I'm going to share them with you. As for your second question about the extended council terms, I'm opposed to extended council terms. And the reason is one of the rationales that's been floated around is that it takes 2 years to learn what's going on in the council. You shouldn't be elected if you don't know what your position it requires and you don't know the materials that go with it. We wouldn't hire a doctor, a surgeon, and give him 2 years to learn how to do surgery. We wouldn't hire a person to be head of fisheries because it's very important to us, fisheries, and give them 2 years to learn what's on the job. What you need to consider is qualifications for running for the council. Right now, our qualifications are 18 and breathing, and that's what's required for you to run for council. So put on qualifications for the 2 years. I also know that HOOPA has a tradition of its council members because we have examples of people who've gotten reelected many times. And they get reelected because they do their job. And if you're doing your job and doing things with people, with what the people want, you'll get reelected. But to expand the terms because you need continuity, you can only have continuity if the person comes knowing what they're going to do. Everybody who's running for council should have read every ordinance before they're elected to know what's going on. So at this time, I don't know what the other thing is. The House of Representatives of the United States is on a 2-year term schedule. And they met, some of those people have been there 50 and 60 years as a representative, and they're very well qualified. So I'd ask you to reconsider that. As for your question about what kinds of things should go in front of the membership, the number one document for the membership is the Constitution of the tribe. The Constitution needs to be rewritten, and then some of these issues that you're facing wouldn't be there. For example, we have a constitution that was modeled under the Indian Reorganization Act by a guy whose goal was to change Indian people's governance into non-Indian form of governance. And it's been very successful in HOOPA. We have to change that model. One of the things we require is our ordinances and our work that we do has to be approved by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. This is 2026, and we still have to send our budgets. We still have to send our ordinances. We still have to send our actions to I'm getting help back here. So, enrollment, everything, who we are, we have to send there. We need to change the Constitution. We need to, that's where you would put your vision statement for what the tribe is going to be about. We need to strengthen our general counsel. Right now you just have these meetings and you don't even have to say, thank you for your opinion. You don't have to listen to it. The council doesn't have to do anything. We need to have a general counsel that has some teeth to it and a purpose and a position. Those are basic fundamental things. The Constitution needs to be changed before you put in all of these other ordinances. We need to have a chairman's ordinance that stops the chairman from being the CEO of the tribe. He needs to be he or she or it needs to be the chairman of the council in running our businesses, not our businesses, but the business that comes from the council member. So that chairman certainly has to be changed. We're one of the few tribes in the United States who does not have an ordinance for the council. It is required in our constitution, and we do not have that. Those three things should be done. The constitution change is a major fundamental change and will require prior work to it going to LPA. The LPA process should be put on the council. We need to have some kind of meeting act controls. The council now puts into executive session things that are required by our own tribal ordinances to be posted publicly, and they put them in executive session. Makes no sense. So we need to do that fundamental work before we start doing this. We need to have a constitutional court on the new proposed plan for reorganization. The court is reporting to a staff member who's very competent and very good, but the court should be independent and not under the thumb of the council. So we've got to look at separating that. We have to have a separate legislative branch. You guys are all doing day-to-day management. It takes four times of approval to get a travel voucher if you want to go to Washington, D.C. It gets approved four times by the council. That has to stop. You didn't sign up to be managers. You signed up to be a legislative branch. So I would encourage you to look at those things before you start picking off these other things, because those are the fundamental documents that concern the membership. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. I'm Sherry Carpenter. I'm not for the two-year term because of right now we have the councilmen's are on air. No one's at my district in Carpenter Lane, Nortonfield, hasn't come down to my house, hasn't come down to our driveways to see what we go through every day. Yeah, we had to go through the vice chairman for help to get our speed bump moved because due to our illnesses, we have fractured ribs and stuff. But then again, the housing department went put speed bumps on the other end of the valley. That's fine. That's the kid area. This is our area, and I lived here all my life, and we're not getting no assistance. And then council people have jobs. You know, why do you guys want to work and then plus have another job? And that's not fair for us. And another thing was tribal police, like the other day, was a disastrous area going on. Nobody even looked at our roads, our council rep. And then so I had to call dispatch, and luckily Duff got my call, and he came down and they addressed it. Tribal police, thank you. Tribal police came down, cut up our tree that was down, and it just took a few people that caring. If you care for us, care what we want our votes, well, at least listen to us.
Sally Slater, the two-year term, it's been working great for us. I mean, many council members, you know, have served more than 20 years on the council. You know, I can name them, but I'm not going to. You guys all know who I'm talking about because I've spoken to you guys about it. But if it should succeed, one point I wanted to make was that we should also make it easier for the removal process and the recall process. So instead of having to go through this huge delayed process, if you want longer terms, then make it simpler to remove you and to recall people. And that's one. And the other thing is that if you're going to work full time because you're paid full time, then don't have two jobs. And also, the lack of communication, like my sister was talking about, no district meetings, no, all this stuff that we got in this packet, we should have heard about weeks ago. This should have been in districts. We need to educate your people what you're proposing. It's just like that 32-hour work week. Come on. I mean, you know, we barely get service as it is, and then you cut the hours. So I'd like to know, Mr. Chairman, who advised you on the 32-hour work week? Because I asked the night you approved it to temporarily approve that until we see how it works. And you talked about morale in your resolution. Well, the morale for people in the other entities and the other departments, it just went through the floor. And you have staff going around bragging about that day and other people. So it's unbalanced. It's completely unbalanced. And I heard about it 2 weeks before you approved it. Didn't get me enough time because of my lifestyle with my family and stuff. So I couldn't get there to the meeting until that night. But all this stuff, I mean, you guys want to be here, but have your district meetings. Communicate with your people. I mean, all we hear is rumors on the street and nobody communicates. There's a lack of communication. Like my sister said, you take care of your people and you're there for us. You're in. You're in. Take care of your people and have a heart and really consider not having two jobs and focus on one. If you want to serve us, serve us. Ask the question. Yes.
I have a quick comment to make.
Yeah, just real quick. So the council and fiscal and HR are the ones that kind of had advised me on that. And just so you know, I've been working the full 40 myself, but it's yesterday I had a doctor's appointment down south. Couldn't do it, but it is what it is with 32. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Councilman Marshall, and then we'll go back to Danny.
I'd just like to make a comment. I am the Nortonville District Representative. I did have the speed bump removed. I have taken pictures and passed on the messages to roads with the brush and the pothole. I haven't visited you yet. I will. I have had 4 district meetings last year. I do know with the new council, they have picked up district meetings. There's one like all the time now. And there was a comment about sweeping off the rocks off the floor, off the road from a certain individual. I could reach out to that person. I thought about going down there myself and sweeping them up. So I am here for you.
Sally Slater.
Do we have a disaster plan? Do we have a disaster plan? Do we have a disaster plan? Do we have a disaster plan?
We do. We do have a couple different emergency action plans. This last one, there was no emergency declaration declared. I didn't feel that it rose to that level, but we did come together, OES and several tribal managers met that morning, and we had people checking on folks in every district. That included Kamau Medical Center, tribal police, plant management, a bunch of different. I'm sorry I left some out. There were others too, elder services. But you know, it's tough to hit every single home. We have a map of all the elders, but we were trying, and I know that, you know, usually when there is a serious issue, people will call me or they'll call Rob Roy, and we try to respond. But, you know, it's you can only do the best you can. And we want to – I talked to Rob Roy about a debriefing. You know, we need to meet to see what worked well and what has not worked. So hopefully the next time around it'll be an even better response. That's a good idea. I mean, we did open up the gym here for a warming center. The heater works pretty good in here, as you can tell, but a nice warm meal would have been even better. So that's a good idea. Thank you.
Danny Jordan, first of all, I do appreciate tribal managers coming together on these emergencies. We can't deal with every single one because everything happens at the same time, right? But the tribe has been very responsive on these issues. So need to work on the details of how to get to the underlying issues as well. Joe, I overlooked one thing in my comment about the constitutional amendments. I agree on the tribal member rights provision. I do think that there's a provision within the Constitution already that can really address that issue, but I think that's where a working meeting needs to happen. If it doesn't address it, I'm real concerned about that in this matter of tribal self-governance, tribal sovereignty, we're all about pushing it to the local level, right? But what happens when those occasional breakdowns in a system happen? We're the only ones on the front line, right? And so I do think we need to look at tightening those, either a new referendum, a new constitutional amendment, or tightening the ones in the Constitution itself. With respect to the extended terms, I've been elected 5 times. I served 10 years on the Tribal Council. We did some amazing things in a tribe. I never thought, I didn't get up in the morning and said, I wish I had longer terms. I just never did that. We looked at accomplishing things, right? And now I will also say that I do know that it's a minimum of $2,500 for you to run for council, for all of us to run for council. This is a big membership. Today, I think there's 1,700 voters sending one letter out. And then if you go through the two processes of the primary and the general, it is a very expensive process. I think that itself limits the ability of some tribal members to even want to run because it's just too expensive. But that being said, I did write the constitutional amendment language back in some time ago, about years ago, when Dale was the chairman, asking the membership to extend the terms to 3 years, and the membership voted down. We also had a provision in there that asking the BIA to provision to remove the membership did not accept that. We live in different times today. Maybe we do understand our own independence more, but I think that it's not just the terms, but what's the strategic plan? We have a budget today of $243 million. Under the 4-day work week, we are spending in HOOPA, under our tribal government system, $1.2 million. If you believe the census of 2,300, I don't. Somehow we lost 1,000 people in the last 10 years on the census. But if you believe the census, we are getting enough money for $104,000 per person in HOOPA. How do we give $30 million to outside companies, right? And not one dime reserved for HOOPA tribal member businesses. Something is wrong. It's just not the council term. But if you extend the council term, the membership will tell you whether they agree with that or not. But what's our plan? What's our purpose here? Because it's not money. We're getting more money now than ever. When the America Rescue Plan came in, it was the biggest funding increase in Indian country history. We spent it on outside people. We didn't spend it building an economy, which was the whole purpose of it. Again, we need to think about maybe extending council terms is needed, but we also need to invest in ourselves. Any study will show that your economy, 70% of your economy is built by reinvesting money, not in Danco, not in Pacific Builders, not in Humboldt Fence Company, but in HOOPA people. And we have absolutely capable tribal members who can do this stuff, but they don't have a seat at the table. We need to fix that. So, but again, if you want to extend the council terms, there needs to be another part of it. In building trust with the membership, because that's what we ran into before when we put this on the ballot. We were right in the middle of some very difficult times, Jesse Short and all that. So the membership was not willing to invest in us as a council. But we need to figure out how to build those bridges. We need to figure out how to put the tribal members, give them an equal seat at the table when they go out and build their businesses, when they do their investments. There's no reason why we're not doing that. Pacific Builders is not HOOPA.
Danco is not HOOPA. Humboldt Fence Company is not HOOPA. You find out that this contractor doing this HOOPA's climate change contract doesn't know anything about HOOPA. So $338,000 went to that company. But again, HOOPA people, we are our HOOPA people. We know who we are. We are the ones going to define ourselves. Why are we letting other people define us? So, yeah, let's look at the whole range of investment in HOOPA, including council terms. Thank you. I understand it, but that's their right to come to the table, right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I am amazed at HOOPA. I am amazed at our capability, but we need to pull ourselves together more than we're doing today. Having government that does not invite their tribal member businesses in is not a way to advance HOOPA. The money is here. We don't need a dime more in a grant. We are here. But if we get more people involved, we'll probably figure out how to get them to the polls to say which are the people we want to vote for, right? So we do have the capability to, even in the voting, invest in ourselves.
We also have some members who want to have their chats be read aloud from the Zoom, if that's okay.
Let's go to Joe Orozco first, and then we'll try to get those Zoom comments read out.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for opening up this discussion on the option to change the term of office. I, too, agree with Lois that we tried this a couple of times. When I was on the election board, I believe it came up twice, and I was on the election board for 15 years, so thank the membership for allowing me to do that. I was thinking that if we're going to be opening up a discussion and considerations about terms and the tribal council, then maybe we ought to pull back and consider some of the other things that make up the tribal council. Right now, we have an election process where we vote for 5 members in one time and 3 members for the next. And that all came about because at one time a seated member on the council passed away and somebody else filled into that position. But that person got a 2-year term of office and that was never resolved. So maybe if we're going to be looking at terms of office, maybe we can bring it back to 4 and 4 again. Put that as another consideration. And maybe we could consider changing the Constitution, which is another thing I'm on that committee to look at, the Ordinance Committee. And one of the things that we did talk about, that we wanted to talk about, first of all, was changing the Constitution. But we didn't get around to that. But I understand that committee is going to start up again in March. So put it back on the table. When I was on the council, on the election board, there was a time when the way we are structured, where we run for office, it's a reservation-wide election. So you do not have to live in the district that you're trying to represent. And once upon a time, we did that. But then we opened it up. So anybody can run for any district, and everybody can vote for all districts. So what happens, and I've seen it happen one time, only once, so it's mathematically possible, if you have a race in one district that has maybe 3 or 4 candidates and another district that has just 3 candidates, and you're going through the primary election process to get to the top 2 candidates to run for the general election, it is mathematically possible that the third runner-up in the group the district with five members or four members or candidates gets more votes than the third runner-up in another district when there was only three. And that, I've seen that happen one time. So what that was saying, that the membership actually wanted this other person, the third runner-up in one district, to be in the general election more so than the second runner-up in another district that only had three candidates. So maybe we need to take a look at that and consider an option where we seat, if we have four open seats, have one election, and the top four candidates will be seated in that. So maybe you have 12 candidates, but the top four are seated in the four vacant seats. Something to consider. So that's what I will. Thank you for having the discussion. I liked some of the input, a lot of the input that came up in this discussion. And yes, we need to take a look at that Constitution, definitely. Thank you.
Why don't we go ahead and let the folks that are on Zoom speak out their own comments and questions. So if you're on Zoom and you can hear us, you're able to speak, go ahead and put your hand up, and the folks operating the Zoom will let you know one at a time when it's your turn. So let's go ahead and go to Zoom.
Gina Saxon.
So my comment was to find resources to better for like more construction work, a cement layer, a cement mixer, more construction like caps, bulldozers, things that are going to add money to something that isn't here. That makes sense.
I agree, Gina. I think there's a lot of potential there. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we are trying to send people to school now to get their Class A. If you know people that want to go through the program, we have funding to support that. During the days of ARPA, I had made a proposal to the council at that time to start a train-the-trainer school where we buy new equipment and have our people that already do that trained to become trainers. Unfortunately, that wasn't approved by the council at that time. However, you know, we can look at, you know, maybe financing some new equipment. There is a lot of opportunities out there, whether that be with road construction, Trinity River restoration work, Cal Fire, Forest Service work. We do some of that. We had bought the new Feller Buncher with the ARPA money, which I believe forestry has kept busy on contracts through the Forest Service, but it can and should be expanded. So hopefully there will be support for that as we move forward.
Okay, thank you.
Would anybody else like to make a comment? If so.
So if you don't want to, you know, voice your comments, we'll probably have to move on. We got Mary. Go ahead, Mary Benedict. Come on up.
Mine are quick. So I was curious about the personal liability for the council, because it's my understanding that when you act in the capacity as a council member, you're protected with sovereign immunity. And that's the same when you act in the capacity as an employee of the tribe, you're protected with sovereign immunity. And that's like within your job description. When you act outside of that capacity, you are not protected by sovereign immunity. So I feel like if there's an issue being brought by the chairman, somebody's acting outside of their capacity, like in a serious nature. So I'd be curious to hear more about that issue and why the membership needs to consider a constitutional amendment to hold the council liable for personal, you know, what's going on here. Like, what's, I'd like to know what's going on in that situation. And then secondly, I would definitely like to see lineal descent constitutional amendment written up and see what that looks like. Like, if these were going to be proposed today as something to change, like, it would have been nice to see what they look like written up. You know, if you were going to propose constitutional amendments, like, I feel like we should have saw what those look like.
I don't think anyone was proposing anything on in enrollment. It was just presenting some options and trying to get feedback from the membership on how they feel about those options before anything is moved forward for proposed, you know, measures to be voted on. With regards to the Indian Civil Rights Act and council liability, I'll be honest, that's something that's personal to me. It was something that happened in the past where the council had ruled that I wasn't able to go to any tribal departments without a police escort, and I wasn't able to speak to tribal employees. And the tribal court did rule that it violated the Indian Civil Rights Act. It violated the Hoopaw Tribal Constitution. However, all they could do was lift those restrictions. So they lifted them, but there wasn't any opportunity to sue for damages. And so I just feel it'd have more teeth if you had, you know, it would prevent future abuses of authority if council members knew they could be held financially liable in court, as opposed to just having the restrictions lifted in court. And because not everyone has the resources or ability to even fight a case in court. You know, I was able to do it, but a lot of people just don't have that ability. And I had a lot of support in that process, but you know, thinking about the average tribal member, you could easily have your rights trampled on if you don't know your rights, or if you're not able to muster up the resources to fight something in court. So this, to me, would, having that provision available, I think, would be a preventative measure so that council members or councils would, you know, think twice about trampling somebody's God-given rights that are made available through not only the tribal constitution and the Indian Civil Rights Act, but the U.S. Constitution as well.
I understand now. Thank you.
Danny Jordan, you know, I was there, right? When those things were happening, I didn't agree with the majority. But that being said, that's what it was, right? And we're beyond that. But you raise an interesting issue that maybe the tribal court is not the proper place for those kinds of things, that maybe we need to create, like the federal government has, administrative courts that are more laypeople courts, that are fit within the administration, but can create a record, right? This is what you have with the Indian Board of Appeals, right? You don't go there to get a court order to order an agency or something to do something, but what you do get is an administrative record that says, yeah, we looked at this and there is a concern, right? And then you take that as evidence. You can go to court with it. So, yeah, I agree that, you know, this is a huge government, and we got a lot of things going on, and we just can't. We need to have ways to refine it to where we build on the integrity of our system, and not just walk around it when it's not convenient. So, administrative court, we had to look at that. That can happen within our own ability. There's enough federal examples of how they have done that, and it's a stop short of having to just file federal cases.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Danny. Along those lines, you know, within our tribal court system, it gives those options to address things in a traditional manner. I just don't think we have any framework in place there at tribal court that could allow for that. So instead of, creating a totally separate process, maybe we add something into tribal court where you have that, maybe it's 5 tribal elder panel or something that deals with those specific things. Our ordinances that kind of determine our rules around tribal court, Title 1, 2, and 3, it provides for that. And I had asked for some of that, but it really didn't go beyond the tribal judge, you know. So like you're saying, I think that's a great idea if we had a panel of maybe elders or what have you set up, that may be a better option than the existing process. Can you come to the mic, please, Sally?
Sally Slater.
Tribal court, maybe think about the attorneys that you guys have representing you that we pay for. How many attorneys do we have on staff that represents the tribe?
So right now, of course, we still have Morissette, Schlosser, and Joswiak, yeah, which is Tom Schlosser's firm. Yes. And
Faithful.
So he works closely with Thane Somerville, and they have staff that support their work. We also work with, is it Keith? What's...
You just have a number, 10?
Keith Anderson.
3, 4?
3 to 4.
Keith Anderson has a firm, and we have a tribal member that works with OTA as well, Victoria Shaw. And so we have about 3 different firms that, the billing for Keith Anderson and for Victoria Shaw has been pretty minimal. It's not a whole lot every month, and then the same with... I feel like Schlosser's bill has gone down significantly in the last several months, but some of our tribal departments have their own attorneys as well.
That's part of the question, so, as a whole tribe, because I know Gamau has one.
Gamau,
does Gamau have their own attorney?
I'll let them answer that question. I believe they do. They have 4 that they deal with.
They have 4 attorneys?
Gamau CEO Ryan Zumwalt.
Did not know that.
Councilman Joe Marshall.
I'd like to say something. Yeah, on the attorney side, they're able to work with the tribe without charging. Just we're able to retain attorneys without paying them until we use their services. And so we could be able to specialize it with different attorneys. You don't have to have one that covers them all.
We're not getting charged
just to have multiple attorneys. Only when you use them, and they're all pretty comparable to each other.
I see the billing in the motions, on the agenda, but I don't see any of the information from any of the other entities, if they have attorneys and how much we are paying for them. And, what are we paying for? That's when you were talking tribal court, that kind of just came up in my mind.
Yeah. You could probably get more specific information from that, from the hopefully from the boards and committees, like the Board of Kamau. I believe housing has an attorney. HR has somebody under contract that can do HR investigations. Fisheries, their stuff comes to the council when they hire Joe Membrino. He works on specific, that is on the agenda. They get approval for that. It's more of a yearly cost contract. There's significant legal resources. Well, it's 10 after 12. We'll go to Rhonda, and then we'll head off to lunch. We'll serve elders first.
Just really quickly, one thing I forgot to mention was that the enrollment committee is open to discussion. And starting next month, we'll be having Zoom links available for every meeting. So if you have any comments, any ideas, we will work with you. And so we were really dependent on any kind of feedback we got today so we could start research and you know, make it available. It would always be the benefit to the tribal membership to actually carry a petition, and that it be the membership's, you know, objective to whatever the outcome may be. And so we were just, our intention is solely to inform the tribal membership of the possibilities, you know, and so that we're not making uninformed decisions. And so starting next month, we will be meeting regularly, monthly, and we will have those Zoom links available for anybody to follow, you know, any kind of construction that we're doing. So you're more than welcome to tune in.
Sally Slater.
I believe that did they we got it was filled. All right, thank you guys.
All right, let's grab some lunch. Elders line up first. We'll thank the rodeo committee. They're we'll see what kind of skills they got in the kitchen.